From NPR News, this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Joe Palca. A brief program note coming up on Monday's show, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says he has a plan to fight poverty, pay poor people to do things like go to school or get a dental exam. The question is, does it work? Can cash change behavior? Paying the poor, Monday on Talk of the Nation. Up now, most of the time, when you sense an itch, it indicates something minor, a mosquito bite or maybe some poison ivy. But itchiness isn't just the stuff of small irritants. Some serious illnesses, like HIV and kidney failure, can also cause a maddening itch. For the rest of the hour, we'll be talking about itch, why it happens, and what's going on in our brains when it does. And, of course, what to do to make it stop, if anything, if you can. If you'd like to join our discussion, give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And if you want more information about what we'll be talking about this hour, go to our website at www.sciencefriday.com, where you'll find links to our topic. Now, let me introduce my guest. He's Earl Karstens. He's a professor of neurobiology, physiology, and behavior at the University of California, Davis. He joins me today from the campus there. Welcome to the program, Dr. Karstens.
Thank you very much, Mr. Palca. May I call you Joe?
Yes, you certainly may. Thank you for...
I believe we've met before on the airwaves when we talked about spicy foods some time ago.
Yes, I do recall that. In fact, I was delighted to have another chance to talk to you. Maybe we'll even find out the difference between the tingle of a spicy food and the tingle of an itch. But maybe we should start with some definitions. What is an itch?
Well, the definition of itch actually goes back to the Middle Ages, and it hasn't really changed much. It's basically the unpleasant sensation associated with a desire to scratch.
Okay.
I think that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, right. and is it okay? So, is it usually enough that you can end an itch by scratching?
Yeah, I'd say so, most of the time. For normal types of itching, I'd say that's probably true. Even for, you mentioned the chronic itch conditions associated with some of these systemic diseases like kidney disease, people will scratch. And probably the reason that they do scratch is to get a temporary relief of the constant itching that's nagging them. But if, I guess under those conditions, probably the itch eventually comes back, so they have to scratch it again. And what can happen is you get into this vicious cycle. The scratching causes lesions of the skin and inflammation, which just worsens everything. And that's one of the reasons why chronic itching is such a big problem.
Now, I guess it may be surprising that someone who's a neurobiologist is studying itch instead of somebody who's a dermatologist. Can you talk about why the brain is important in this itch reaction?
Sure. Although I would preface that by saying that there are a lot of dermatologists that are very much interested in
itch. But we chose you see, so I get to ask
that. Sure. I mean, when you think about itch, it is a conscious perception. Although I should say right off the top, there is it's partly unconscious because people will often scratch themselves while they're sleeping. So presumably they're not conscious of the itch, but they'll still scratch. So that's a big problem too, nocturnal itching. But I'm a neuroscientist, and so I'm really interested in the perception of itch, how it's processed from the skin through the nerves into the spinal cord, up to the brain, and into the cortex. And so it's an issue like pain, basically. It's just a... There's a whole pathway for it. There's a whole neural representation in the brain. And so it's a very exciting field. And also, we don't know a lot about it, which is why we have these conferences every 2 years.
Right. Well, that's interesting that you talked about pain because, if I can call back to my halcyon days as a psychology student, I seem to remember being told that itch and pain were points on a continuum. Do people still think of that?
That is a really good question that has not been resolved since the days of von Frey back in the late 1800s and early 1900s.
I was out of school by then. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was still in school.
Right, got it.
So, you know, this is one of those things where the theory about itch and pain, is there a separate itch pathway that's different from pain? That would be maybe a specificity theory for itch versus itch and pain are on the same continuum. There's some kind of a neural code that distinguishes between itch and pain signaled by a common set of neurons. This debate has gone back and forth, sort of like a tennis match over the last couple of centuries. And about 10 years ago, dear colleagues of mine in Germany discovered what is our best evidence for an itch receptor, a histamine-sensitive nerve fiber in the skin that was discovered in humans, actually, human studies. And if you put histamine in the skin, it causes an itching sensation and activates these sensory nerve fibers over the same time course. So there's a really excellent correspondence. So this provided some evidence that there may be a itch-specific pathway. And shortly after that, some other dear colleagues of mine found a central representation that was quite similar. There were histamine-selectively responsive neurons that seemed to be separate from the itch pathway. But that was all about 5 or 10 years ago, and at this latest conference, which just concluded a couple of days ago, the picture is getting cloudy and fuzzy again. There is a lot of evidence that itch and pain probably are actually sharing some overlapping sets of neurons in the central nervous system. So there's no clear-cut answer to that question at this point. There may be a little bit of both. Maybe there's some degree of sharing of itch and pain along a continuum, but there may also be a small population of more itch-selective neurons that are signaling the sensation in parallel.
You know, this notion that there is a receptor for histamine that would lead to itch is one of the things that you mentioned earlier of this show I did a few years ago about taste. It's very hard for me to come to the concept that there's a non-mechanical aspect to this. I mean, a tickle on your arm, you know, when one of your hairs on your arm is vibrated, can be an itchy kind of a feeling. And that, yeah, that's definitely a mechanical thing. But you're saying that there's a biological and even at some level genetic thing that's determining when we are itchy.
Yes. I'd say so. Although
I wonder
if there
are people who never itch. I mean, are there itch? I mean, I don't mean to use the word despairingly, but itch mutants, you know, that don't itch.
Well, that's an excellent question. So we know that there are people that are insensitive to pain and for a number of reasons. But now that we've discovered all of these molecular receptors that might be involved in signaling pain, there's now a potential explanation. Maybe these people are not, you don't have some kind of a genetic mutation so that these molecular receptors are no longer expressed in these people that are insensitive to pain. So there's absolutely no reason not to expect that the same may also hold true for itch. Although you caught me off guard, I don't know if there are any specific studies of people that are insensitive to itch. But if you
would be interesting if you want to find the distinction between people who are insensitive,
yes,
to pain, because those people definitely, yeah, exist.
There was at this recent meeting, there was an animal study showing that different strains of mice showed a high degree of variability in their susceptibility to itch as monitored by their scratching behavior when you put an itchy substance on the skin. And there was a negative correlation. So the animals that were more sensitive to itch were less sensitive to pain. The animals that were more sensitive to pain were less sensitive to itch. And that's sort of an interesting anti-correlation because it suggests that if you have more pain, pain naturally suppresses itch anyways. And so maybe you're going to have less itch under those conditions.
Complicated. Well, let's see if
yes,
our listeners, let's see if we can allow them to scratch the surface of this subject. Okay.
I'm just itching to give an answer.
Well, here we go then. James from San Antonio gets the first crack. Go ahead, James.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I am sitting in my car itching right now as I'm listening to y'all, so it's sort of funny.
Right.
That's the psychological aspect of itch.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
There you go. Well, actually, I think my question is more related to, is there a correlation between, and I had mentioned like kidneys and stuff like that, but between heat and or heat rash or itching because of the heat and any kind of kidney type, you know, something like that. I don't know if the question makes sense or not, but.
What do you think, Dr. Carstens?
If you're talking about kidney failure, that it's quite interesting. I don't know about kidney failure and pain, but it's interesting that kidney failure and also kidney dialysis patients, there's a very high incidence of patients that experience severe itching. And so we're not sure what the mechanism is. It doesn't seem to be very well treated by antihistamine, so it's probably something that's non-histamine related. And that was we had this meeting just recently, and one of the questions is, what other chemicals are there in the body that might be mediating these forms of chronic itch besides histamine? And if we can find out what they are, we can develop drugs that can better treat that. I don't know if that answers your question, but it certainly raises a very important point that kidney failure is associated with severe itching, and it's a very, very difficult problem to treat for the internists and the dermatologists.
Yeah. Let's take another call now and try
Hello?
Jalene in St. Louis, Missouri. Jalene,
we lose them?
Hello, and good afternoon, men. This has been really fascinating and pretty funny and fun topic to listen to. I have this kind of crazy itch on the soles of my feet and my palms
for years. I've lost my audio.
I'm sorry?
Jalene, it seems as if Dr. Karsten's in Davis is having a hard time hearing us, so you may be asking me the question, in which case we'll just discuss it.
Not a problem. Well, I guess I'll get to the point. I have an itch on my palms and my soles for years, and the doctor said maybe I'll get some money. The money hasn't come. I've taken antihistamines. There's no kidney or HIV, and I'm just kind of like going, what's next other than waiting for these drugs he just referred to that aren't out yet? And I can take my answer off the air.
Okay, thanks, Jalene. Dr. Karstens, do we have you again?
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, good. Did you hear Jillian's question? She says she's had itches for a long time with no relief. I know you're not a doctor, but where do we go with this kind of problem?
So I get itchy palms, too, sometimes when I walk around a lot. My arms are hanging down, so I don't know if there's something in the blood that's accumulating in the in my distal extremities just from gravity. Where are we going? This field is basically in its infancy. You know, pain research got really well organized about 30 years ago, and they brought the clinicians and scientists together to try to tackle the problem of pain. We're just sort of doing that now in the last couple of years with itch. So there's a long way to go. I don't have an answer for her. There may be mediators that are causing this type of itching that we haven't identified yet that are not histamine, since her itching apparently was not affected by antihistamines. But we're not very far yet. We're still working on those drugs. And there's a couple on the horizon, though, which is good to know. And this came up at this itch meeting we had recently in San Francisco. One of them is a so-called kappa opioid agonist, nalfurafine, which is proven to be somewhat effective in the itching associated with kidney disease. So this is a promising avenue, but we need several more years to really test this in the clinics to make sure it really has some efficacy in humans.
I'm glad that there's a lot to learn. I'm sorry for the people who are stuck with this unpleasant itch, but we're talking this hour with Earl Karstens about itch and where it's from. I'm Joe Palca, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And a group of people have been gathering at the science school area in Second Life, and we have another question, which we touched on earlier. It comes from Wheeler Klar, who says, talking about itch is making me itchy a little. Is there a response to itch like yawning that can be contagious? And you know, I've been watching the control room, and all the producers and engineers, they're sort of scratching in there, too. So what about this idea? I mean, you know, one person yawns and everybody yawns, one person itches and everybody itches. Does that happen?
Absolutely.
Why?
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's human nature. It must be human nature. It must be a sort of an empathetic response in the person looking at the person who's scratching that makes them either more aware of sensations on their body, or there must be something like that, this empathy, because it's really true, and almost to the point of being humorous. In fact, at our meeting, one of our participants, Francis McGlone, showed a video of a TV program where a guy's in front of a classroom, and he's lecturing, and he starts scratching himself. And then you look at the people in the classroom, and eventually all of them start scratching. So there's something contagious about it, like yawning. I mean, when I see somebody yawn, I almost always have to yawn. There's this urge that I just can't withstand. And it seems to be true, maybe to a slightly lesser extent, with itching and scratching.
So why does scratching make you feel better? It's actually a pleasurable experience to scratch an itch.
So there's two sort of opposing ideas, although they may both be right. One is that the scratch is sort of a weak form of pain, and it's well known that pain inhibits itch. Okay, and that's probably due to a wiring circuitry in the spinal cord or in higher levels of the brain, whereby the painful signals come in and they inhibit the itchy signals. But the pleasure is a really fascinating question because, again, Francis McGlone and colleagues have proposed that there are light touch receptors that you can stimulate in the skin by lightly or gently stroking the skin that are involved in a pleasurable sensation. And so when you scratch an itch, not only is it great and pleasurable that you're relieving the itch, because the itch can be tormenting, but at the same time, you may be activating these pleasurable pathways as well. So you have reduction of itch and an activation of pleasurable touch, which combines to form a rather pleasant sensation.
Wild. Well, I think we have time for one last quick call. So, Dave, you get your itchy question. Dave from Lumberton, is that New Jersey?
Yeah, wait till I scratch this one.
Okay. I hope I don't scratch my head over it.
Right.
My wife is an acupuncturist who works out of a place called AccuHealth in Morristown. My next-door neighbor went to her, and he's scratching all over. He says, this is driving me crazy. I've got poison ivy, and I can't make it stop. It's all over my body. She said, I can help. So what she did was she put a little tiny needle called an ear tack, which you can barely see. He didn't even feel it going in. She put it in a special point in his ear, which deals with adjusting and balancing energy along meridians. The doctors might know something about this or have heard about it. She said, leave it in. Don't take it out. Wait until everything settles down. You might need several or more days. 2 days later, he's taking a shower. He's washing up, and something's bothering him in his ear. He had forgotten about it, thought it was a bug, took a swipe at it, and wiped the ear tack out. And immediately his whole body broke out in itching. He hadn't had it since.
Well, I'm sure there must be a scientific explanation, Dr. Carstens, but you'll have to give us a brief one.
I can't. I mean, yes, acupuncture exists. I believe that it's real. Part of it might be belief in the system is like partly a placebo effect, but there's a lot of evidence that acupuncture can activate central nervous system pathways. I'm not sure about these meridians and the flow of yin and yang. That's more Eastern culture that I'm less familiar with. And so there must be something going on that's relieving the itch. But at our meeting, we didn't really have anybody talk about acupuncture for the control of itch, but that's a really interesting idea that certainly needs looking into.
Okay. Well, that's the final word. Thank you, Earl Carstens.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay. Earl Carstens is a professor of neurobiology, physiology, and behavior at the University of California, Davis. This program is produced by Karen Vergoth and senior producer Annette Heist. Charles Bergquist is our director, and Flora Lichtman is our producer for digital media. If you'd like to write to us, please send your letters to Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036, and the email address is scifry@npr.org. Check out sciencefriday.com for more information and links to today's program. You can listen to past editions of Science Friday online or take them with you as a podcast. For NPR News in New York, I'm Joe Palca.